Coming up today on Guts, Grit, and Great Business.
And I was asked by a high-level consultant, and I was talking with him about a community he was building, and he said, "Do you want to be a soloist or a member of the choir?" And I was like, The thing about choirs is everybody's supposed to blend. And I said, I think I would contribute to a choir full of soloists, because no one's voice is the same. No one's message is the same. And so many of us in the entrepreneurial space deal with, well, so-and-so already said it. Who am I to say? I mean, I do a lot of vulnerability work. I could say, Brené Brown already said it. My life was changed by Marianne Williamson's famous speech 25, maybe more years ago, right? Who are we not to be gorgeous, talented, fabulous, and brilliant, right? Our playing small does not serve the world.
The adventure of entrepreneurship and building a life and business you love, preferably at the same time, is not for the faint of heart. That's why Heather Pierce Campbell is bringing you a dose of guts, grit, and great business stories that will inspire and motivate you to create what you want in your business and life. Welcome to the Guts, Grit, and Great Business Podcast, where endurance is required. Now here's your host, the legal website warrior, Heather Pierce Campbell.
Alrighty, welcome. I am Heather Pierce Campbell, the legal website warrior. I'm an attorney and legal coach based here in Seattle, Washington, serving entrepreneurs throughout the United States and the world. Welcome to another episode of Guts, Grit, and Great Business. I am so excited to have my friend and a brilliant entrepreneur with us here today, Michelle Copper. Welcome, Michelle.
I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks for having me.
I know. It took us so long to get this scheduled.
It did. And then it's like, oh my gosh, and catch up. So we need to talk more often.
We do. We finally decided to go live. But Michelle, I have always been a fan. And then getting to know you the last several years. I think we met the year before the pandemic. Was it a couple of years?
It was the February before the pandemic.
Okay.
So we got to be in person together.
We got to be in person. And then we've had to separate for several years, which is really hard.
Only 3 hours apart. And yet, I know. All the way. Yeah.
Right. We're so due for another in-person connection. But for folks that don't know Michelle, let me introduce Michelle Copper. Michelle is a transformational message mentor, a visibility expert who believes that your voice and vision are your most powerful marketing assets. She helps experts, coaches, healers, speakers, and other purpose-led entrepreneurs find their voice, clarify their message, and expand their powerful presence to grow their reach, impact, and income as they give their voice their vision online, on stage, and on video. Michelle's unique approach to visibility, online and off, helps you find your words, activate your confident presence, and turn your vulnerability around being seen and heard into your greatest marketing asset so that your message inspires and moves your audience to see you, hear you, and hire you.
Well done.
Great. Aww,
it's always so fun to hear all those things coming back. Yeah, you do that. I do that.
That's yes, cool. You do. Yes, you do. And I know you've got a story around your own journey. For folks that don't know you, and I know that for people that do know you, we still want to hear the story again.
Ooh, sure.
But you have an origin story related to why your voice is so important, right? Do you mind sharing that?
No, not at all. I was called to sing. I was this 3-year-old kid who knew my purpose for being on the planet was to sing. And of course that meant I was going to be in the church Christmas play. And, grandma was the next door to the church. I had to go to the church with the grandma and it was like going to happen. I'm in my tinsel halo. I've got the white sheet. I'm about to sing with the heavenly host. Like my life is about to unfold exactly as it's meant to. And the lights came up and I was overcome with inexplicable terror. And I ran to sit on my grandma's lap. And I can still feel that physical feeling. And so, of course, I became a professional performer and did that to myself over and over and over again because of that called feeling, called to do something great, big greatness, bigger, play bigger. I have a voice. And I was overcome. It didn't make any sense. I was always encouraged. I was told you could be a world-class vocalist. And I wanted that. But all I heard was could be. That's all I heard. So I went pursued singing through my young life. And it got so bad that I would cry. My throat would close up. I couldn't do it under pressure. And the pressure got worse and worse. And eventually I totally stopped. So I did, you know, I shifted and became a performer. And but this holding back, this I'm not good enough. It's not going to be, if I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it. My body's going to betray me. I want to, but I wish I could. The doubt and the desire was excruciating. And I bargained with it and I shifted gears and I did all these things to go around it and had a really, and I used drugs and alcohol, people, situations, guts and grit, you know, just like sheer will to try and push through it. And it really ended up getting me to where I was kind of alone in a basement filled with self-loathing and frustration and had a, you know, a moment of clarity, a gift of grace. I call it the gift of desperation, right? It couldn't get worse. And it allowed me, I had a pretty powerful spiritual experience where all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, I don't have to live this way. And made some big changes. But one of the first things that happened with that experience is that I would have songs dropping into my head. And they weren't songs that I was making up. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be a songwriter. Because remember, I'm too scared to sing in front of people. So that would be really futile.
That would be.
and the first song that dropped in was what I needed to hear. It was very much a divine message. And so I'm like, okay, crap, I think that's a song. Well, like this, just a little bit, goes like this. Mm-hmm. Open up your mind and see the moment is at hand. Then you'll realize and the truth you'll understand. Heaven is right here waiting for you, around you and everything you see. It's bigger than anything you've dreamed of, even you and me. And I'm like, oh.
Wow.
And so I said, I think I wrote a song to a friend. She said, I sang a little bit, I sang the whole thing for her. And she was like, if I could do that, I would. And I was like, yeah, but you don't understand because my whole body will betray me and I will choke and I will cry. And I'll blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I had encouragement, bunch of songs started to come through and they all had this message that was so much bigger than me. It was so much what I needed to hear. It was so much a product of all the doubt and desire, the doubt and the desire. Mm-hmm. Because I had this gift of grace, you know, that's like a gift you don't want to waste, right? You're here to serve. You're here to use that gift. And it led me on a journey to heal and reclaim my physical voice, my singing voice. Many, many songs came. I performed professionally with my own rock and roll band in New York City for years. I still feel a little charged singing. I can still feel that vulnerability. But the process and the journey to that led me to teach singing performance. You know, there's a lot of Broadway dancers and actors who are terrified of singing, but they have to sing in order to get the part. And there's people that are wanting to speak in boardrooms. And so if I had a studio in New York City and I taught, my favorite were the people who were like, I don't really know what I'm doing here, but I think I'm here for a reason. I don't know. And I watched their lives transform as we did this work of finding and freeing your voice. Yes, we focused on physical voice, but so much other stuff was happening. And so my natural journey of expansion was this calling to help unleash the power of the human voice on the planet. If everyone had their voice, no matter what other people thought, did, said, believed, wanted, it would be a different world. So in that journey, I had to keep expanding and going to my own levels of greatness, you know, that's not like I'm so great. We are all great, but like what we are here to expand. That led me to wanting to reach and serve more people. And I was divinely led against my will, kicking and screaming to the online entrepreneurial industry, specifically the coaching industry, because I had already been teaching and mentoring And I really saw the similarity between this feeling. So many of us, we can go sell for IBM. We can go, does IBM even exist anymore? I'm so old. We can go sell for other people. I'm not that old. Oh, I knew I had a client who talked to 10,000 people in an IBM conference, no problem, right. Came to speaking about her personal journey, her gift, the things she wanted to share. She was overcome with fear and she would cry and she had all those same things. And that's what led me to see like, okay, wait a minute, something else is going on here. So that led me to helping experts, coaches. I work mostly with coaches, healers now, people who are called to uplift, to serve, to heal, but we have to grow our own business. We have to make some money doing it. And that journey of like self-promotion, how do I say it? What do I say? I learned that I can download messaging the same way I download songs. Hello, easier for you than when I do it for myself. But, you know, it all came together so that I knew I was going to make more of a ripple, more of an impact. Mm-hmm. And it was vulnerable for me. I had another level of expansion and vulnerability around, okay, now I'm going to talk about how you can pay me thousands of dollars. And now I'm going to show up consistently and I'm going to hone my message and learn some skills and be vulnerable and be visible and risk the one thing that it comes down to, fear of what other people think of us, right? Like if we're going to be visible, people are going to judge us. I also learned that I'm probably judging a bunch of other people if I'm feeling judgy. So I'll own that. So that's, you know, this in a nutshell, helping people who are here to uplift, to bring a message through, which I think we all are.
Right.
Through our work. Are waking up. They're like, yes. There's got to be something better than this. Right. And they want to find their voice and their message. And I believe your business is your message. Your self-expression is your destiny. It's the journey. And your business is a spiritual practice. Finding your voice is a spiritual practice. And your marketing can be a part of that practice. When you're in alignment with who you are, maybe you learn a little skill. You got some outside eyes on that bridge that we got to build in the messaging department from what you're called to share and how you can say it in a way that people hear it. But that has been my journey to now help coaches and healers, online entrepreneurs to find their voice, give voice to their vision and with freedom and enthusiasm and personality and excitement. Not my personality. Personality.
Can we all just take a little of your personality? I'll take it.
So that's my journey. And then we've been doing this online coaching. The Inspired Voice Business Coaching has been around for now almost 8 years, I guess. And that's what we do.
That's awesome. Well, I think there's some really important pieces in your journey. And I think so many people listening can relate to, I know for you, it was the experience that happened when you were teeny tiny, right? You were overcome with fear, right?
And again, and again, and again, and again, every audition, every vocal competition, you know, I had the fortune of being a TV commercial actress for a while in New York City. I made my living for a few years as a TV commercial actress. That's like hundreds of auditions in a week where you're going in and looking for someone's approval, totally beyond your control.
Right.
All right. You know, and let me tell you, you know, repping for Pizza Hut and Pringles was not my vision. That was not what I was dying to give my voice to.
Oh my gosh. That is, I mean, and I can just imagine the pressure, hundreds, like, whew. I'm just thinking, even let's just talk about the regular use of our voice. Like not even for those of us 100%. Who have had to like be on TV or sing in front of a crowd or whatever, right? I'm not even talking about that level.
I'm an adrenaline junkie that way, yeah.
Right? That takes it to a whole new level. No, I'm talking about just the day-to-day use of our voice, yeah. Right? And how many people get disconnected from either the belief of, you know, of other people believing in what they say. My sister and I had a recent experience, and I was sharing on another episode about like we all have our own healing journey, right? Health 100%. Journey, healing journey. And so much of it, right? We're learning some things about the impact of some of these childhood experiences and stuff that end up embedding so deeply as beliefs, right? They're wrong beliefs, but they're beliefs because they were an interpretation.
And cellular memory. Like they're, we lock them in and then we repeat the contract because we're little and we don't know any better.
Right. That's right. And so my sister had this experience when she was 8. She broke her arm. We were rollerblading like little wild people in the basement. And she broke her arm and she went to mom and dad and said, "Hey, my arm really hurts," right? Like it was really hurting. And they did not believe her and did not listen to her. And so, and she had a pretty badly broken arm. And a week later, she's still like crying to herself in private, like,
"Oh, sweetie.
Oh, I know. It breaks my heart to even think about this," but she's like in the bathtub and she's like, I don't even know what she's using to wrap her arm, an ACE bandage or something, you know, and she's crying. She's 8. And my mom comes in and sees her and realizes like, this is still hurting. You know, my dad had called her.
What day was that?
Right.
I know. Was that a week ago?
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh crap. And so they took her in and sure enough, it was a pretty bad break and it was not very helpful that they'd not seen her a week ago.
Sure.
Right.
So, not to mention a little ice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, she, you know, they went through whatever they had to do
and experience of not being heard.
Yes. And so even now, like in our own health journey, that how this came up again recently is we connected with a doctor who his whole mission is to get people. He's like, there's two modes in the body. There's fight or flight, or there's healing mode. Like that's right. It. You're either in stress mode or you're in healing mode. And that's really how we're designed. And pretty much everybody is walking around in stress mode these days, you know,
most of the time, unless you know something and you have some tools, right?
Right. Yes. But, you know, and, but the point is that even some of our stress modes that we might be aware of, we often don't understand the root causes of like a belief like this being embedded so deeply at age 8, like my voice doesn't matter. My parents don't care about me, right? This kind of stuff.
It's super powerful. So I've heard so many nightmares. I had to teach a singing performance and speaking studio in New York City for 10 years and Portland for 10 years.
I bet you heard all the stories.
And almost universally, almost everybody had a message somewhere that it was not safe or okay for them to have their voice in some way. I heard a story of nuns telling a little girl not to sing because she was off tune. They told her to mouth the words and eventually moved her into like the percussion in the band room, right? One of my first business coaches and mentors had a second grade teacher who's tell him probably perfectly well-meaning, like you're singing out of tune, right? And then there's just all the times that we're told to be quiet and to not say it right. And you know what? I'm a parent who knows about voice stuff, but sometimes I'm like, okay, you have really booming resonant baritone voice and I love your voice, but can you turn the volume down? You know what I mean? Like it's not anybody's fault, but we adopt these stories and everybody has a story and we all hate the way our voice sounds, right? And so here's a story for the healing of that. Mm-hmm. Now, your self-expression, the sensation and vibration of your voice can change not only your cellular, shake up those memories and things that get stuck, but it can change the world. If you think about sound, you know, the Big Bang theory, right? I am the word and the word is God, right? Like there's every spiritual creation, singing into creation, Native aboriginals have the use, the world was sung into sound. So your voice can heal your reality. And when we're holding it back, it's exhausting and it's exacerbating that flight state. But most of us are on some level because it doesn't feel safe. So it takes guts and grit to put yourself out there. And across the board, I have seen people transform by daring and sharing and owning and claiming their voice.
Mm. Oh, I love that. Give me goosebumps. The part about our voice being like a source of creation. Right?
It is. The universe is born in sound. Right? Like all of the teachings do that. So think about you are your universe, right? And and whether it's the vibrational sensation and vibration of your actual physical voice, and even the thoughts, the ability to express, the written, it's all energetic, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's true.
Very powerful. And it makes it a little scary. Right? Okay, wait, what?
Totally.
What now? How does this have to do with my marketing and signing up clients? Okay. Anyway.
Right. Yeah, but the possibilities. And well, on that point, because I'd love to hear your part of the journey of how you made the leap from working with, you know, artists, Broadway people, mm-hmm. et cetera, mm-hmm. to entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So I was a business owner who wasn't making any money. First off, and I was that for a long time because I didn't know how to articulate my message. I had all my own limiting, playing small, playing safe illusions and beliefs. And I had to be very, very brave to claim my voice because my whole body was against it, right? Long journey, rigorous, many modalities, lots of stuff went on there, right? And so I'm having a business because I was a part of my bargaining with the universe, right? Like, oh, I'm supposed to sing. Well, I can't do that. So I'm going to be an actor. And okay, that's getting really hard. And I don't really want to talk about Pringles potato chips. You know what I mean? And a bird shit on my face in New York City between auditions, you know, more than once. It's like, it was rigorous. I learned a lot. And I still couldn't sing as totally free as I want. And then how do I make money with songs? Okay, now I have these amazing songs. How am I going to make money? There was a whole journey there. And so fast forward, I had kids and I had these teaching studios and I was like struggling financially. And the universe brought me this wake up call that I didn't want. I was like, no, not that. And it kept showing up. No, not that.
Not,
I finally said, all right.
Yes.
And it led me to my first online opt-in, Deepak and Oprah, by the way, if you're curious.
Thank you, Deepak and Oprah.
Listen to them every day, over and over. I said, I had tried every bit of hustle I could find. Mm. I had tried everything, finishing my college degree in my 40s, just running businesses. I thought I had tried everything. And that's the thing is that I hadn't. So that led me to work with a business coach and I discovered the realm of online coaching. I think my only kind of reference point for any kind of like speaking, inspirational speaking motivation thing at that point was that movie Magnolia, which was basically, I think it was Tom Cruise kind of like parodying or being this weird version of Tony Robbins. It was a weird trip. So I had no reference for it. I had no reference for the coaching business. I had no reference for, you know, speaking to serve. And I was like, I signed up for a coaching training, how to make offers, how to talk to people. And, you know, and I was like, I have been doing this mentoring and I'm watching people's lives change for a really long time. But it came out of my realization that I was playing small, I was, shy or embarrassed about charging. I was not sure how to put an offer together. I was not sure how much to charge. And I was really in this money story of what I thought they would pay. But I was willing to change. And I had had that gift of desperation, you know, 20 plus years earlier. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to do that again. Let's have some more of that goodness. Right. And I really kind of gave up the struggle and began to learn more. And this guy ended up signing up. I got on the Pay House list. Right. And it was my first list. Oh my God, I'm on so many lists now. Right. But it was like Hay House's list. And they started promoting the man who became my first business coach. And it was against every fiber of my being. I was like, no, no, no. And the universe was like, what about this? You ask for help. What about this? I signed up and I heard him saying, because he was teaching and sharing things about playing big and who are you not, you know, like you're just because you want to, you can play all these things I'd been teaching for so long. And he was making millions of dollars.
Right.
And he also built the bridge for me between self-expression, owning who you are, allowing yourself, I'm worthy because I exist, and marketing and growing a business. Mm-hmm. And he drew that line for me. And I was still pretty disoriented, but I was like willing to try anything. And I learned very quickly as soon as I had some of the skills and things around the way we craft our message so that people want to come towards us and hire us, that I was able to download that like I did for the songs. And I do it better for my clients. I already told you that. So that's how I made the shift. And I went from, you know, my business making $40,000 or $50,000 a year, which meant I was bringing like 17 home.
Right.
Right. Cause I'm paying for a studio and an accompanist, and we got to our first six figure year within 18 months. Nice. And I did, it was mostly in here. It was a combination of inspired action, a little bit of like desperate, oh my God, I've invested everything I have, I got to make some money action, which isn't, I highly recommend it, but it worked. And really a commitment to myself to expand. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not done. Mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to struggle this hard. I know people want this message. I know people benefit. I've watched them transform before my eyes. So what, am I going to give up on them because I'm scared or I'm vulnerable, or I'm going to let what other people might think about me stop me from sharing my message? And I did. I do sometimes. It's scary. I get weird, just like everybody, right? But it called me forward. And being in that, making some investments that were way beyond my comfort zone was a part of that for me. And then not giving up, not pivoting and shifting. And what happened is, as I did this and I got, you know, I created some video training programs for video confidence, because that was very similar to singing in front of people, right? And I had that particular experience. And today we really focus on streamlining, you're simplifying your visibility, getting out there, being the leader, sharing your message in a way that feels amazing to you, but also sharing it in words that resonate with your clients and growing a sustainable business with it. And your business is like, your revenue can be, is like the universe saying, you're doing it, you're serving humanity, right? It's, there you go, good job. It's an energetic exchange. So it's evolved from there. It's evolved from there. Did I get the story in there?
Oh, you totally did. And I think, you know, of course, looking backwards, you're like, how appropriate is it that I'm working with entrepreneurs who all have a message to share?
100%.
Right? And 100%. Who can change the world with that message?
Everyone can.
All right, let's pause for a moment and hear from today's sponsor. Are you an entrepreneur who is on track to make $1 million or more in revenue this year in your business? If so, your business is likely facing a host of legal issues that are ripe for support. If you are like so many of my clients at this level, you are likely building or adding to your team. This could be interstate within the US or even internationally. Hiring independent contractors to support your growth, creating or launching brand assets, content, and programs, expanding your online presence and building your email database, engaging in a variety of online marketing activities, executing a number of contracts on an ongoing basis, and more. But the bottom line is that you are quickly scaling and need essential legal support. You're tired of taking risks and a DIY approach. You're ready to tackle that mess of legal documents or fix the legal gaps that you know exist in your business. You want to take care of your clients and your business and avoid unnecessary conflict in the process. You're ready to protect your IP, and you're looking for a fixed cost solution that is a fit for your business and delivers tremendous value beyond the traditional legal model. If this is you, and beyond just being an entrepreneur, you are a catalyst and are committed to your mission and your impact in the world, I invite you to get in touch. You could be a fit for my Catalyst Club, a small business legal support program that I designed for my high-level clients just like you. You can find out more at legalwebsitewarrior.com. Just click on the Work With Me tab to find out more about the Catalyst Club and other ways that I support my clients, a fabulous group of world-changing entrepreneurs. You've done the initial legwork in your business, and now you want to soar. And you know that you can only go as high and as far as your legal foundation lets you go. Get in touch today. Hop over to legalwebsitewarrior.com, click on the Work With Me tab. And if you have any questions, just click through and get in touch with me through the contact form. I'd be happy to connect and talk with you about the options that may be a great fit for your business.
And I was asked by, you probably know him, a high-level consultant. And, you know, I was talking with him about a community he was building. And he said, do you want to be a soloist or a member of the choir? And I was like, The thing about choirs is everybody's supposed to blend. And I said, I think I would be contribute to a choir full of soloists, because no one's voice is the same. No one's message is the same. And so many of us in the entrepreneurial space deal with, well, so-and-so already said it. Who am I to say? I mean, I do a lot of vulnerability work. I could say, you know, Brené Brown already said it. My life was changed by Marianne Williamson's famous speech 25, maybe more years ago, right? Who are we not to be gorgeous, talented, fabulous, and brilliant, right? Our playing small does not serve the world. And I learned that long, long time ago, and I was still doing it again. So we always have a next level of expansion.
Yes.
And absolutely see how it comes together. And my songs still are a part of it, right? My songs are still a part of it. New songs come, not as often as they used to, but there's an album in the future. Because I viscerally, physically in my body know what that choking feeling and the bitter disappointment and frustration of not stepping into that thing that we want, that we feel called. Yeah, I know it in my body. So the people that are drawn to working with me and the people that I'm able to help feel that, and there's a level of resonance and trust. And because they feel safe and seen and heard, they can do amazing things very, very quickly. Sometimes after years of, I know what I need to do, but I can't. I just need to make myself do it, but I'm not. And that, I mean, Nike did us all a favor. Just do it is powerful. But if we know that and we can't because of this, and then we make it wrong, it just ruins so many dreams. It slows down the revenue. So there's no doubt about the alignment for me. And also for having it be connected to revenue generation, because that was part of my journey. And I was like, oh, I just want enough to get by. I'm grateful for what I have. I did that for like years, and I ended up with a huge debt and medical bills, and I was under earning, and all of those things happened. So really learning to expand, and it's the nature of the universe to expand. We never finish expanding. And you know, now into really, how can you run toward your next expansion? And that's just one of the things that I do, and I love to help other people do.
Oh, I love the visual of that. And, you know, and it, with the important thing I think to keep in mind is like with each new level of expansion, I think some people think like, well, there's a point of arrival, right? That they're like, I'll have figured all of this out. I will like, I'll have the answers.
I want the cash and prizes too, by the way. Come on now.
Right. But each new level, we have new doubts. We have those new versions of the previous thing to still work through and deal
another with. Another level of expansion, another level of the veil to part, right? You know, the more successful we are as entrepreneurs and we're starting to make some money, and then maybe we're trying something new, or what we were doing stopped working, or, you know, we're not friends with that person anymore, whatever happens, right? We can feel really vulnerable, even more vulnerable. Like when I got nothing to lose and nobody knows who I am, I can go kind of wing it out there a little bit, right?
But then you're building team, you're building brand, you're building other awareness.
And it gets more vulnerable. And you know, it could feel like, oh, the higher you climb, the farther you fall. But I don't buy that, right? It's all expansion, and you never get it done and you can't get it wrong. And we need to be with people that are at that level of expansion or a little bit ahead, because that's how we are supported and uplifted, that rising tide, right? The rising tide isn't always like the exact same. And so it's super important to be with people that give us goosebumps, with people that inspire us and are doing brave things, with people who can see our greatness before we can feel it sometimes to call us forward.
So good. So speaking of, you can never do it wrong, but Let's look at the industry as a whole. I want to shift to talk about
them.
I know, right? We love them so much. And what do you see? Because I know you work with a wide variety of entrepreneurs, all within a, you know, the space that you serve, that I serve.
Mm-hmm. Most of the coaching industry or the healing that we're solo practitioners of a modality that's bringing transformation. That's why I'm a transformational message mentor, because those of us in that space have a unique challenge around how do we say it? So what's going on? And I jumped into this with up to my eyeballs all the way in. I'm like, okay, show me what to do and I'll swim. And it was great. I learned a ton and I did all the things, which are what? The things are,
all the strategies,
course, the strategies, tactics, yeah. Tools, the templates, the formulas. I'm really good at trying somebody else's thing all the way in, really doing it exactly how they say. But then there's one part that we often forget. And that is like, what do I think? How did that feel? How did that work? Right. So what's going on? And it's been coming for a long time. It got very frenetic and it's very noisy and very loud with the pandemic and everybody going even more virtual. Mm-hmm. And it's not one thing, but it's a frenetic busyness. It's a complexity. It's scrambling to do. I break it into three categories, really. I call it scattershot visibility, mm-hmm. where I, you know, Heather, here we are. I've been like, I've really been feeling like I got to do a podcast. You know, I should be doing a podcast. And I would really like to be building my YouTube channel. And I already have a weekly Facebook group, Facebook Live training that I do. And I've got my email marketing going and I needed some funnels and I created some programs and then I needed some freebies to go with the programs. And then I was supposed to do challenges. So I've got a couple of really good challenges too. And I need a whole JV system. And I got a lot of really good JV partners. You're one of them. And they grew my list and I love these people and they're amazing. And so I really need to promote them too. And I need to create new stuff now because I've done that other stuff. And then I really need to crack the Facebook ad code, right? Like people are just like building these little funnels and they're like bringing them all these clients and I need to do that too. So, and I should be speaking more. I should be, I could go on and on. And this is just me being real with you right now. Right. So what's different for me is this feeling, this drive, this compulsion that I'm not doing enough, that I should be doing more and that I need to be doing everything in order to have a sustainable, thriving business. So my big message around that over the last 2 years has been, what can I stop doing?
Yes.
Because when we're doing all of those things are freaking great. But if you do them all at once, you don't know what's working and what isn't. You don't know where to fix it. And it's very easy to say that it didn't work. I tried that. I created a program. Nobody bought it. The second time it was a flop. And so it didn't work. So now I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go do that. So that's the other thing we do is we switch gears too soon. And that's just scattershot visibility. The next one I call perpetual program purchases. Perpetual program purchase problem. Actually, one of my clients came up with that and we were alliterating together.
That's hilarious.
Right? You know, and it's compelling. All those programs are great. You know, I have some really good digital programs. I stopped even offering them right now because people, we've talked to over 300 people in the last 2 weeks, my team and I, specifically trying to really talk to people that are in my Facebook group. They've known me. We've talked before. They like me. A third of them didn't even respond because they're so busy. And of the others that did, half of them were like, I am in so many programs. I have so many unfinished programs. I have to finish this. And I'm doing this certification and I'm trying to get this going and I got to get this going. And I know a woman who's been working on her challenge for 4 years. And so there's something else going on, right? Mm-hmm. And so this perpetual program purchase or certifications, it's either programs to build my business or one more healing
label,
yes. Certification. And that really comes down to like, I am not worthy yet. I am not complete and I am not ready. So all of those things will get more value for you when you streamline and simplify and focus on one thing. And it really boils down to having a clear, aligned, inspired offer and building your business around your strengths, right? Your strengths. So scattershot visibility, everywhere, right? Just, it feels like you have to, but you don't. And it becomes, we become addicted to the frenetic frenzy. I call it adrenaline-based business growth. I'm an expert at it, so there's no judgment here. I think you know what I'm talking about, right? So when I'm in the scattershot mode, if I'm throwing spaghetti at every wall, my audience doesn't have any time to find me or remember me or hear me. Perpetual program purchases keep me in study mode and busy mode and doing course content. Or we also get stuck behind the scenes, building out our platforms and working on our websites and creating our courses, but that's not generating revenue. And sometimes we never get our business going because we get so lost in those things. And then we spent tens of thousands of dollars and we don't have the return on investment because we didn't have the support or this clarity or the way to tie all those pieces of the puzzle together.
Yes.
Right. There's another thing, but that's a lot already. I can't remember that I usually talk about.
No, it is, I think, 100% accurate reflection of many people's journey in this entrepreneurial space of trying to figure it out, right? Make all the puzzle pieces fit.
Yeah.
And, you know, going to this person and learning this thing. And, you know, the reality is these businesses are not like big businesses that have teams to just figure it out and do the thing and make it work.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we're all as individuals limited in our decision-making power. We're limited in our energy.
Yeah.
Right.
And you don't have, so since I started simplifying, as I said, I hustled and boogied my butt off and I got close to six figures in about 18 months, but being close to six figures was a hustle and a boogie your butt off mode, right? And I didn't have enough revenue to have a team or not enough team that I needed. There was cost for technology and learning curve and training. And so I was exhausted and it took me 3 or 4 years in business hovering there, doing all the things. It's like doing a tap dance on speed, right? It's like, looking back when I was in it, it felt like what I had to do, right? It felt guided in what I had to do. So what I've done about 3 years ago, I started to stop that cyclone, the hurricane. It took me, I feel like in some ways I just started to rev down into a clear, steady focus, maybe beginning of this year. And I stopped doing all the things. And I was lucky to find a community of other people where, you know, there's seven-figure entrepreneurs who are getting it done with conversations, one simple, steady pulse of a message in one simple primary platform. I know people who have stopped sending emails altogether, and they're still making revenue through real connection and real conversation and the ability to focus on one thing and see what's working and how it could work better. And so that was a real eye-opener for me. And that's what's been helping me. Well, our revenue has doubled the last 2 years. I have more successful clients, more clients that I love, and I'm doing more of what I want. And I have more team and much more clarity, not total clarity, right? There's an improvising that we do, but I'm clear about how I can help clients. I'm clear on my message and I'm clear about what we do. And all that stuff that I created, much of it now is included with my main primary offer, but I don't focus on it.
Right.
You know, I don't focus on the marketing and creating of it. Mm-hmm. And I really honed in on talking to people and getting great people, high level results.
Well, and part of what I'm wondering, because I think so many people can relate to your journey, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is, do we have to go through those parts of like doing all the things before we can have the level of clarity of honing in on the one thing or the primary offer?
I think we do. I think we have, I don't think we have to do all the things. I think that's a little bit of a trap. If there were something that I wish that I had thought of or known or realized before, it would be to remember alignment. We tend to think we have to get good at the things we're not.
Yes.
And it's much faster if we do the things we're good at. Right. And that inspiration is more powerful than motivation. So inspiration is something I receive. And if I'm in hustle, strive, I'm going to get her done, make it happen mode, God can't get a word in edgewise if you go with the gods, right? Like I'm so busy in the hustle that I can't hear that intuition or that guidance.
Yes.
I did. One of the first investments I made was so compelled by my intuition and so counterintuitive and insane that I'm surprised it kind of didn't catch my attention. But what I thought it was a mistake for a long time. I thought I had made a terrible mistake because it was a huge investment and it didn't get me the return on investment that I thought it should have. And then I was told it would have. It got me many other things, even the act of making that investment. But looking back, I think I would invest in a small group, high level, deeply aligned. Like if somebody gives you goosebumps, hire them. If they're getting you the results that you want, if they're getting the results and promising that, hire them. I think that's what I would have done, is had a smaller group, higher level business coach.
Very targeted. Yes.
Yeah. Well, somebody who could help me sift and sort from those choices. Mm-hmm. And those aren't easy to find.
Yeah.
Right? Because the thing about coaching is that we can often help a lot of people do a lot of things. And so we just get in there with the coaching and we start processing all the things. That's why we stay focused on using revenue and consistent implementation tracking to say, like, are we focused? Are we on mission? And it's a spiritual approach to that. It's not like, well, did you make it? You know, it's not like coffee's for closers. But like if you're closing sales, something's working. And then we can say, oh, what's working, right? So yeah, simple. I suggest people pick three primary outreach platforms. One, social media that you love and that your clients are on, right? We need email, even though this fancy guy that I know doesn't use email. He keeps talking about he's going to do it. He's really good at direct outreach, okay? And that's the third thing. I think that we have forgotten in the age of funnels and the fantasy of launch mode, automated, passive,
digitizing everything.
Income. No, it isn't. You got to bust your noogie to get those funnels working, right? Or pay a lot of money, and you might pay a lot of money and they still might not work. So no offense. I love my digital marketers. God bless them. I would rather pay them all day long than try and figure that out myself. But I did that early on. I was like, all right, I'm going to write some emails, you know, like I can do this, which is great. So I think it's a balance.
Yeah. No. And I love even just the idea of simplifying, like doing what you feel like you need to do, but simplifying your strategy down, right? To where do you love
one thing at a time?
One thing at a time. Where do you love to show up? Where are your people showing up? But also, the last point you made is really important, not forgetting the power of direct outreach, of direct connection.
Yeah, especially today.
Yes.
Especially today.
Yes. Well, and I think, well, even when I think about my LinkedIn, like one of my favorite strategies in my business is my LinkedIn strategy. And it doesn't have to work every time. It doesn't even have to work 50% of the time. If I actually look at numbers, for every 100 connections, I may actually connect by phone, which is the whole goal of my strategy, to get somebody connecting by phone. I just say, like, in real life, I want you to put me in your Rolodex, like treat me like a human that, you know, if you need something.
And everybody's like, oh my God, she's calling
me.
Oh my God. She called me 3 months later. She remembered me. She's talking to me.
Right. Like that's the whole point. And for me, there's a book and I read it ages ago, but it's what's it called? Love is the Killer App.
Ooh.
Yeah. Written by a guy, Tim. I always forget his last name. I'm sorry, Tim. It's a really good book.
Ferris.
No, not that Tim. Anyways,
we'll find you, Tim.
Yep. Go look it up. Love is a killer app.
Killer app.
Mm-hmm. But the whole, it's really just a little book focused on the power of connection and the power of like being willing to be very resourceful and connecting others, creating new connections for people, like with no end game in mind. know, like, I need business out of this, or I need them to 100%. Hire me, right? It's like genuine, like, hello, genuine yes. connection.
And that's what your marketing and your messaging is all day long. Your marketing and message, you want to feel it's an extension of the work you're here to do. It makes those offers just the next natural step in the conversation. And that if you don't make the invitation, you're leaving people hanging. That's how you want it to get. You know, that's the confidence you want to have, the clarity you want to have, the permission you want to have to just show up and serve all the way through. That's the one thing. Not only do we clarify the platforms and the strategies, right? Mm. But when you can clarify your offer, and I have a training called Inspired Offers, and it talks about, you know, there's three level of offers and how do you craft that in a way that's deeply aligned and personal. And then you got to pick one and you got to stick with it. Right? So honing in and focusing on that and being conscious and willing to have all of that busy work lead to actually people signing up. And even my most successful digital savvy, brilliant mentors and friends know that those big multi-million dollar launches that aren't happening the same way they used to, but they happen. There's a team on the other end of those launches talking to people.
Yes.
And it's so important. So honing in on that one primary thing is part of what I love to do. And I often do that. We have some training. I do trainings in my Facebook group every week. And comes down to, it clarifies not only that your marketing is working, it helps you figure out what your marketing is about. It helps you figure out what to say. And it helps people get their head around who are you and what do you do?
Yes.
Right.
All such important pieces. Yes.
And not only can you streamline your platforms and your message and all the places that you are and the types of content that you're creating, you can take one message, one topic, one idea, your three main silver bullets that you do in your fancy, your bag of magic tricks, right? Mm-hmm. And you can talk about them again and again in different ways in different contexts. And so I'm always saying we want to simplify the content creation piece too. So because we forget this, and I've just been relearning it again. Our audience is catching a snippet of us here and there. Like if you've sat and listened to this whole podcast, let's talk. I love you. That's amazing. If you did this while you're working out, fantastic. It's the exception, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to sing the same song again and again. People love to hear their favorite song and they associate that song with the person that is sharing it. And so your content doesn't have to be as complicated and have as many whiz bangs in it as you might think. You can really steady share your message. One email can become your social media post, can become your live. That's part of our formula that we teach. Mm. Really simplifying your content creation strategy as well. And what makes it work? It leads to people signing up to clients and knowing how you're getting there.
Oh, it's well, and I can just hear the size of relief from anybody listening, right? Like what? A simplified content creation strategy?
And if you've been doing this for more than a year, you've probably got lots of content you can keep using, right? Let's up-level it. Let's tweak it. Let's pivot it a little bit. Let's play with it, right? Totally. But that can be hard to do on your own. So I'm not in any way minimizing the journey.
No, we're all too close to our stuff. That's the reality.
Right? What's the third one? I'm forgetting right now.
Guts, grit, and great business.
Great business. So your great business is connected to your greatness and it's inside of every single one of you.
Totally. 100%. Well, Michelle Copper, I love you. I know you've got to run.
Thank you for this opportunity.
So fun. I was thinking, I don't know if I've ever heard you sing.
Want me to close with another little song?
Oh my gosh, I love it. Would you?
I totally will. And okay. I think we have a gift and we'll put that in the notes. It's my framework for creating your next six figures of revenue from alignment,
love, creation,
and your own voice. Yes. And this is a song that came to me when I was in that stretch as an entrepreneur. I've been doing the hustle. It wasn't working the way I wanted it to. And I was in another one of those pivots. And so sometimes songs come to me when I need to hear them most. And this one goes like this. God, hear me. Help me raise my voice Help me make the choice to share the gift I bring. God, hear me. Help me take a stand and walk with me hand in hand, and I will sing. Help me be a champion for the silent. Help me heal the fears that keep me small. God hears me and fills my words with power. In a dark hour, I will sing. I sing because I can.
And total goosebumps over here. Yes, you can. Yay. Michelle, you're amazing. For folks that are listening, hop over and check out the show notes page. We are going to share all of Michelle's links, including her gift and any of your social media links if you'd like.
Wonderful. Yeah. Come play with us on Facebook and YouTube. We'll share.
Totally. Yes. If you are not inside of Michelle's Facebook group, you need to get your buns over there. you can check all of those links out, connect with Michelle and more at legalwebsitewarrior.com/podcast. Michelle, I adore you.
And I adore you too. Thank you so much. I love being real people with real people. So do reach out and connect. And I'm so glad we finally made it happen, my friend.
Oh, me too. Me too. All right. Big hugs.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Guts, Grit, and Great Business podcast. We hope that we've added a little fuel to your tank, some coffee to your cup, and pep in your step to keep you moving forward in your own great adventures. For key takeaways, links to any resources mentioned in today's show, and more, see the show notes, which can be found at legalwebsitewarrior.com/podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, and if you enjoyed today's conversation, please give us some stars and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast so others will find us too. Keep up the great work you are doing in the world, and we'll see you next week.